The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and today I have a special guest on the Electric Drum, Frank E. Brady. Thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invitation.
Where are you from originally?
So I'm originally from the beautiful, beautiful state of New York. Born in the Bronx, New York. You know, grew up in New Rochelle, New York. Spent some time in the Bronx and then moved to New Rochelle, New York. And came to Connecticut as a teenager.
Tell me about those early years in New York. Since you got that, you know, I want to throw the Bronx accent in there.
You know what's so funny? It just happens. It happens, man. I mean, my early years, which like have such a huge influence on me. Huge influence on me, man. I said, family came from Jamaica, right? Immigrated to Jamaica to New York, ended up in the Bronx. You know, I'm born out there as a child, spent some time, and then moved to New Rochelle, New York, which is really where I got a lot of my life lessons and influences from. Mm. You know, so New Rochelle is kind of like, I would say very kind of similar to New Haven, right? Bronx is a whole other beast. We actually left the Bronx because it got so crazy out there. That's how I ended up in New Rochelle. It just got too crazy out there. My mama didn't want to raise a child in the Bronx at that time. It was just too crazy. But yeah, man, New Rochelle's like my foundation, really. It is the catalyst for why I do the work that I do in the community. You know.
But before we get to there, tell me a little bit about mom. What's her name?
My mother's name is Louise May Brady.
Louise May Brady. Yes. What type of woman was she? Or is she?
Yeah. So my mother is a woman of God, first and foremost. Devout Christian, woman of God, poet as well, and a nurturer. You know, those are the adjectives that describe my mother.
People always striving to try to give their children a better life than they had. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not where you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
What about her persistence that really, you know, still clicks with you?
I think, you know, for my mother, when it comes to persistence and my mother, man, it really just comes down to, like, regardless of what life threw at her, you know, she has continued to have a smile on her face, and she did, you know, she put me first. She put my sister first. You know, she gave us her last. When she didn't have it, she made sure that we had it. She made a lot of sacrifices for me, you know, so that resilience as well, because she's been through so much. So that resilience as well is what, you know, she's passed on to me, which I try to emulate. That strength, man, that by any means necessary. And also that nurture. You know, my mother's a very nurturing individual. And I think for me as a man, it's important to express nurture as well, right? And, you know, my mother, she is a writer through and through, and she also passed that on to me.
Hmm. Any stories growing up that you recall? Any situations where she had to be stern or, you know, gave you a good life lesson?
My mother is very nurturing. She, you know, not always the most sternest, you know, just nurturing. You know what I'm saying? I think when it comes to life lessons, I think I got life lessons from my mother. One thing I could tell you is I was in a grocery store when I was younger, and I'm always younger. If I get anywhere out of sight, my mother will carry on, yell. She's protective. So I think that's more so what it is, man. If anybody messed with me when I was younger, my mother was very protective of me. She definitely has that protective energy, like mama bear energy. So I think the life lesson she taught me is to be protective. Protect those that you love. Hmm. You know, my mother, anytime I had a situation at school or issue, my mother was like, she would march down to the school. What's going on with my son? He's getting fights and things of that nature. She get involved. My mother's protective. So that's what she, you know, it wasn't necessarily much of the strictness as it was her protective energy that I can think I kind of embody.
You grew up in a single household, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so I have a hybrid household, man. I grew up with my mother raising me, but also my grandparents in the household. So my father figure was my grandfather.
What was his name?
Lavelle George Brady. Yeah, that my father figure was my grandfather, and he taught me a lot.
Share, my friend.
Yeah,
share.
So,
what type of man was he? What did he do?
My grandfather, definitely the image of a protector, a provider, and I think the real version of what you call a high value man. The real version, like a high value man, is a man that doesn't have to say that he's high value, but his characters are so high that people naturally respect him. And he doesn't have to demand. He doesn't have to demand leadership. He commands it in how he lives. Commands people, just they follow him. So my grandfather was, and I would say the things that he taught me, man. I mean, first of all, from Jamaica, right? My grandfather was the first man in his community to bring running water to his community. Like he literally took a sledgehammer, broke the ground, built a water tank, and brought running water to his community in Jamaica, a village in Jamaica called Eport. So my grandfather is that type of man. He advocated, he's really big into advocacy as well. In Jamaica, they called him the prime minister, right? He marched over to the capital of Jamaica and demanded, you know, better roads, better conditions for his community. You know, so he was an unofficial, you know, mayor, you know, the prime minister, as they call him. You know, he was the father of the community. He took in his household. He raised not only his children, but, you know, other children in the community, other family members that may not have had a father at the time. He literally took kids in and let them live with him. And then other children in the community, he also was like the father. Because, you know, he used to call him Uncle Papa. Yeah, so that type of man.
It's unique to have that kind of experience and that kind of guidance or someone like that in your life. So foundationally speaking, what is something that when times are tough or you have to make a tough decision, that you hear him in the back of your head saying to you?
It's a good question, actually. For me, it's not necessarily what he has said as much as my memories of his actions and how I saw him show up. You know, so I can say that as I remember him and growing up with him, not to say I didn't see him sweat, you know, but he was just stalwart. Like, he was very stoic. He was, whatever was happening, he just faced it. You know, so whenever times get tough, I remember the image of his actions more so than anything, him standing, you know. He had to stand through a lot of difficulty, and he walked through it like a champ. You know, so I think for me, that's what pops in my head anytime things get difficult and tough. He just face it. Face it head on, you know, 10 toes down, stand on it, face it. Walk through it. Don't walk around it. Walk through it. Like, there's a brick wall. He's going to move through the brick wall. You know, that's just the type of man he was.
Real quick, let's touch on Nana.
Yeah, my grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah, my grandmother, name? Eileen Mae Brady, man. You know, God bless her soul. That is also the woman that taught me a lot about what it is to be nurturing as well. Her and my mother. My grandmother was, you know, educator, right? Former teacher. Just powerful woman, man. She gave you the shirt off her back. You know, she was a mother to the community as well. And as she was older as a senior citizen, she was taking care of senior citizens. Both of them, that's how my grandparents both were. Like, they were elderly, taking care of elderly folks. They were also very strong, very fit. You know, my grandmother walked everywhere. You couldn't get her to not walk and not work. You know, yeah, mother to many too. You know, mother to many. And she just had this way of being soft but stern at the same time. You knew when she was stern. You know, and just a beautiful ray of light. And I would say she never gives up on people. You know, she fights for people. You don't want to fight for themselves. She see the light in you even when you don't see it in yourself. She fight. That was my grandmother.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Frank E. Brady. This guy's on more flyers than Jay-Z, that's for sure. But let's talk a little bit about legacy and the fact that you come from a long line of leadership, community service, education. Does that propel you to keep or maintain that legacy? Are you even aware that you have a responsibility for that?
Yeah, I would say it's not even a responsibility as much as it is a mantle. You know, my grandfather, my grandmother, my mother, like all involved in different ways. My grandparents especially, mother and father of the community, man. Like my grandfather, just the epitome of taking care of, making sure that the children that you birth in this world are good, and then the children that don't have a father around or support around are good as well, right? My grandmother, mother to everybody, you know? Community parents. So I'm very aware of that, that I have a mantle in my life, call on my life, mantle on life, however you want to call it, that comes from, it's in my bloodline, it's in my DNA. You know, I am the mixture of my grandparents and my mother, like to the T. I got something so from every
important.
One of them.
So important to know where you come from.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and take the next step and elevate.
For sure.
Do you feel like you've elevated your family's legacy?
I mean, you're
young.
I'm young, yeah.
You're not that old, but yeah. So far, do you feel like you're on the way?
I'm on the way. You know, I say I'm on the way, man.
Because those are some big shoes to fill.
Those are very, some very big shoes. I mean,
you're talking about bringing water to a village.
Yeah.
Educating the youth, taking care, lifelong
service, man, and servitude. That's definitely what they represented, you know, and they're revered for it. You know, they're revered. My grandfather's gotten many awards for his leadership. My grandmother's been recognized. You know, so actually working on a scholarship in my grandmother's name in Jamaica with my aunt. You know, scholarship also with my grandfather. You know, so yeah, so those are very big shoes to fill.
Let's continue with New Rochelle. You spent your teenage years there, I'm assuming.
Part of my teenage years.
Part of your teenage years, yeah. Formative years. Yeah. Anybody sticks out during those years that, you know, that gave you a little bit of guidance, nudged you or slapped you into place?
Yeah, most definitely. There's one person in particular. So when I was in New Rochelle, like when I was a teenager, you know, I used to play a lot of basketball, right? And, you know, if you're from New York, you know, just basketball is everything. And we used to play basketball out late, like the lights stayed on, right? And you know, when you outside, I think I do a lot of work with youth, right? And that directly comes from my experience growing up. And when you're outside playing basketball, especially if you're in like the inner city, You know, there are other elements out there. You know, there's gangs, there's drugs. You know, I grew up around all of that. And at a crucial time when I was starting to get involved in certain activities, I met a woman at the Boys and Girls Club. We call her Big Fee, right? And she used to run around with us in the Boys and Girls Club. She was like the supervisor, I think director, something like that. But she was just so cool, easy to talk to, but she just kept us active and engaged. And that was pivotal for a lot of us growing up around that time, to have somebody that was cool that we can connect with, that also kept us active. Mm. Very important. She did programming. There was parties at the Boys and Girls Club, like summer camps. There's a pool outside, Remington Boys and Girls Club in North Shore, New York. And it just was necessary. Mm. You know, so Big Fee, man, Big Fee. That was the figure for me.
That's great. She provided that distraction from now what we call urban trauma. But back then, we didn't know what this was.
We didn't know what it was, not at all. No whatsoever. What we were growing up in or what we were growing up around, we had no idea. We were just living through it and being impacted by it. You know, well, now we know about things like social economics, right? And no idea what that was back then, right? Now we understand about, you know, environmental trauma. We no idea what that was back then whatsoever. So yeah, no, I think it was a distraction, but it was also like grounding. She kept us grounded. Me, a lot of some of my peers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the temptation is there.
Definitely.
I mean, you come from a background. Oh, let's continue I love talking about foundational stuff.
Yeah, because most definitely.
You have a good, great foundation. Let's move on to college. Mm-hmm. How did you end up choosing Southern?
Southern Connecticut State University. Man, I chose Southern because, you know, I went to Hamden High School.
Okay. Right? So how did you move to New Haven?
Nah. I moved to New Haven for college.
Oh, then how you go to Hamden?
So when I came from New York, I came to Hamden.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hamden, Connecticut. Yep.
So you went from New Rochelle to Hamden. Yep. Okay. All right. Here we go. We following.
I jumped around.
I see.
I moved around.
Always looking for a better life, though. Looking for a better quality of life.
I wasn't. I did not.
How you moved to Hamden? With your mom?
I did not want to move to Hamden. I did not want to leave New York. Uh-huh.
Who made that decision?
My grandparents, aunt. Right. You know, my joke is I'm like the Fresh Prince of CT or the Fresh Prince of New York. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. Said, you move with your auntie and uncle in CT. I was getting into trouble when I was younger. You know, shoplifting, things of that nature, just running around with the wrong people, fighting, stealing. And that got me into some difficult situations. And that's what made my grandparents and my mother and my aunt make the quality decision to take me out of New York. I did not want to go to Hamden. I did not want to. Hamden was a culture shock to me. Like, the lights were off at 9 p.m. It was quiet. There was crickets. Like, this stuff was like, no, what in the world? But I'm thankful that I got the experience. So, yeah, I went to Hamden High School. Graduated from Hamden High. I ran track. I was all-state in track and field. And I ended up getting recruited to run at Southern Connecticut State University. And that's what got me to Southern.
Oh, how was it navigating? Now, you're the first college in your family? Or no, because your mom was an educator, so.
You know, it's interesting. I got to do my real research on that. I don't believe I'm the first, but that's a good thing for me to research. I know my aunt did some college. I'm not sure if my grandmother did college, actually. No, my aunt did some college. So it's something to research. I don't know. That's something that I find out, actually.
Yeah, because it's your first generation.
First
generation American.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to navigate these systems. I mean, you guys navigated together as a family, I'm assuming.
Let me tell you how difficult it was. Imagine, and a lot of my first generation folks, especially from Caribbean descent, Hispanic descent, you know what it is to have a household that operates on a country of origin rules. But then leaving the house and outside the neighborhood, the community operates on a whole different set of rules. And then if you get bussed outside of your neighborhood to a different school, with a different demographic, they operate on a different set of rules, right? So all the folks when I was a kid in New York, my friends went to a different elementary school and middle schools than I did, right? So I got bussed. So I had to learn how to navigate all these different spaces, you know? So it was very interesting.
This is the Electric Drummer 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Frank E. Brady here on the Electric Drum. The beat goes on. That leads to a lot of code switching.
Yes.
I hear that a lot. I mean, you're conversating with me on the radio and you hear a certain code, right?
Yeah.
Because you feel like you're keenly aware of your environment now due to the fact that...
Hyper aware. Because for me, I had to be. I think growing up, I didn't know what code switching was at all.
No, that's new.
Right? I didn't know. But, you know, now that I understand it, you know, I'm multilingual, right?
But speaking English, I'm multilingual.
Mm-hmm. I'm multilingual. I understand how to speak different languages. And I think for me, I've come to the stage where I've just adapted it, where I just speak one language in different spaces. You know, it's more fluid for me now because my identity is more together. Whereas when I was growing up, my identity felt like real scattered and real separate. Like the work I've done on myself, my identity is more together. So I show up, to my credit now, I show up, this Frank that you get on the radio is the Frank that you'll get outside, walking around the neighborhood, in a boardroom, keynotes on the stage, working with educators. This is the same Frank. Took a lot of work to be able to do that, but this is the same Frank.
When you say a lot of work, please share.
Oh yeah, so for me, I'm very big into mental health, healing, you know, just emotional healing, wholeness, right? Personal development. So I had to do a lot of work on myself to understand how I grew up and how that affected me as an adult, right? So I think when you go back into the history of your life, you have an opportunity when you do work to understand how these events and experiences impacted the individual that you are today. You have an opportunity to now like co-author your story. So for me, to understand my identity, I had to understand how growing up, feeling like I had multiple identities, how that impacted me, right? How I had to switch here and speak differently here and speak because they didn't understand how I was saying certain things. And, you know, I had to recover from some of that too, right? Because some of that could make you a people pleaser at times because you have to please this group, that group, this group, that group, this group, that group. You know, so I had to face that in myself, understand where the root of that, where that comes from, and then be able to now shift my behaviors. Because the thing about it, especially the things that impact you in your childhood, there's a phrase I like to say, in childhood it was a survival, as an adult it's a handicap, right? So for me that was survival. Like I left the house dealing with Caribbean parents. I go out into the neighborhood dealing with kids that's, you know, in urban inner city context, dealing with some kids that were in gangs, some that were recruiting me, right? And then I leave and go cross town to the school, and these are kids coming from a different environment than me. They have, you know, they have access to resources. Their parents take them on trips and stuff. Didn't have. So I had to learn how navigating and shifting how I showed up affected me. It splintered me for a while. So again, I think growing up, being a grown man now, I had to do the work to more so bring myself back together into one person because I felt like I had splintered identities for a long time.
Juggling multiple personalities and growing up like that is it's a gift and a curse. Definitely. It's a gift and a curse because you never really develop the sense of who you really are.
Exactly.
Because you're so busy taking on characters. Right,
yeah.
That you think people will like and respect and give some attention to because ultimately it's attention that we're seeking. Very profound. Yeah. Got me choked up because I totally get where you're coming from. I mean, it's not easy. The question now is identity. and finding yourself and being okay with whoever you are?
I think for me, man, finding myself meant healing myself to find the version of myself that is the best for my life. So, yeah, I did a lot of therapy for like years, right? I'm a real big advocate of therapy. Therapy is how you actually go to the university of you. You know what I'm saying? Understand your behaviors, why you do what you do, why you show up the way that you do, how things that you've gone through impact you, right? What behaviors, the funny thing is, right? I had to learn what behaviors kept me in a cycle and what behaviors I need to shift to break me out of that cycle, right? Because it's just, they're cyclical. They're behaviors that we've just adopted in order to live. For some of us, it's in order to survive, right? So for me, finding myself and strengthening my identity is taking myself from out of survival mode to being able to thrive in life, you know? And you can't thrive off of a foundation that you're surviving on. It just don't work. You got to kind of rebuild the foundation. You got to edit it. So for me, that's what it became.
The fear to let go of the familiarity of your foundation that you have in order to rebuild, and not being afraid to rebuild from scratch and do it multiple times, because you're not going to get it the first time. Talk about overcoming that fear a little bit.
You know, I think insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So after a while, you keep running into the same wall. You realize, look, I can either live in this cycle of running into this wall, or I can find a new way to deal with this wall. You know, so I think the fear, and there's two fears, right? There's the fear of staying the same and the fear of change. One of them has a different outcome. So after a while, you live in the cycle of staying the same. I don't want to stay the same. I'm afraid of this. But then I'm also afraid to change. So let me go to a different direction and see where that's going to take me. It's hard, but it's necessary. You know, it's very necessary. So for me, I just said, I can choose A, where I've been, and I know what that is. Sometimes you stay in places of comfort because you know what it is. Versus, or I could choose B, I don't know where this is going to take me. But you know what? Let me go on this road because this is only getting me here. And it's not elevating me, so let me go here. At least if it doesn't get me anywhere, I know I chose a different road. I have a different experience. I got new information that's going to further my growth in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I just said, let me take the other road that I haven't traveled yet.
Now you hit these stages, and you're speaking. I mean, you're hosting everything. I don't know. There's not one place I haven't seen you yet. What made you choose that arena, being out there? Because you seem like a very modest guy.
Yeah. I tell people this all the time. I didn't choose it. It chose me. I am low-key. I am chill. I was not the in front of the microphone space stage person coming up like that. You know, if I had my way, I'd be doing public relations, PR, or something like that, behind the scenes. You know, so in the life that I'm living right now, it's just it blows me away, because I'm like, yo, how did I get here? You know, so like hosting, something I didn't choose. People just saw I was good on stage and said, hey, we want you to host these events. And then people kept seeing me doing it. And then it became a thing. Hosting and emceeing became a thing. Poetry, of course, that's from my mother. Right. But that actually is kind of like the catalyst that put me on the stages where people were able to see my personality. Speaking just kind of evolved from that, because you can write and perform what you say for so long before now you want to speak on what you say. People want you to talk about it longer. You want to expound on it, you know, break it down. These are things that just naturally evolved for me, you know, educator. I'm a former teacher. I taught at Homicide Elm City High School for 2 years in New Haven. Spent 10 years in the New Haven public school system at Wilbur Cross High School. You know, these are all things that come from communication, that come from me, you know, starting off as a poet, really, right? all of those things come from that. And there are things that I didn't choose like that. They chose me. You know, so I think that's when you think about mantle and calling. Your calling don't choose you, man. I mean, you don't choose your calling. Your calling choose you. You know what I'm saying? Your mantle choose you.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Frank E. Brady, in case you recognize the voice and didn't have the name, or now you got the name to the voice. Last few minutes here. Time flies, my friend. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
Anybody you want to thank, and how can we get in communication with you?
Yeah. Man, you know, I am the product. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I think it takes a tribe to raise a generation, right? So I'm the product of a tribe in a village, you know. So there's a lot of people that just showed me a lot of love. My big brother, Raymond Thomas Cash, father figure to me, big brother figure to me. My teacher that really lit the spark in me as a speaker, as a everything that I'm doing right now. Shout out to Lenora Henderson. She saw something in me that I did not see in myself in high school, and she kind of lit the spark for me. You know, even what I do as a host, I spent time as an artist before I even started hosting. Spent years under the guidance of my big brother, Rasan Langley. If you know Rasan Langley, you know he is a showman, consummate showman, a talented artist, but he is a amazing connector of people, even in what he does as a live musician. So I took a lot of cues from him as a host, right? You know, there's so many people that have shown me love and given me guidance. You know, we're all products of villages, man, and tribes. You know, and I'm really big on, you know, giving people their flowers and thanking them for, like, the impacts they've had on my life, you know?
Your contact info.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody can contact me. My website is www.frankebrady.com. Frank E. Brady on Instagram. Frank E. Brady on Facebook. Everything Frank E. Brady. That is the contact information, man. This has been a beautiful interview. Thank you for having me. This is full circle, man, because I was on Electric Drum about 14, 15 years ago, something like that, with my good brother Juan Castillo. So it's like a full circle moment for me to be back in this seat.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call and for coming back on. I hope it was a different experience for you because, you know.
Definitely different.
Every show.
Definitely different.
Every interviewer is different. Every style is different. But I thank you for taking the time for sharing your story and healing, you know, taking part in the healing of our community through that great storytelling that you gave today. With that said, this has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. This has been the words of Frank E. Brady. You know how to get in contact with him, frankebrady.com. Facebook, Instagram, that's how you find them. Speaker, poet, everything that you need for the youth out there, he's willing to lend a hand. And like always, to everyone out there, thank you for listening.